With the yield curve inverting and gold prices rising, what does this all mean for you and your family? This somber inquiry is one of the topics that we discussed with best-selling author and lifelong entrepreneur Jerry Robinson. As founder of FollowTheMoney.com, Mr. Robinson leverages years of investing experience with solid Bible-based fundamentals to help navigate his subscribers through the current treacherous waters. And indeed, central bankers are setting up the global economy for an unprecedented meltdown. Worse yet, President Trump is doing nothing to mitigate this escalating crisis. We've detailed a point-by-point analysis of our fiscal dilemma at crushthestreet.com/Donald. If there's one report that you must read, it's this one. Once again, please go to crushthestreet.com/Donald. So without any more delays, here's Jerry Robinson.
Hello, everyone, and welcome into crushthestreet.com. I am Kenneth Amendori, and I got an excellent guest on the line with us. I mean, he's a returning guest, and it was very timely in hindsight when we had him on the show last. And, you know, one of the things that we brought up the last time he was on was how frustrating the precious metals market has been. And, you know, why it's in these times that people need to be considering, you know, these investments where there are blood in the streets and the frustration and the sentiment is down. And here we are in March, and precious metals, gold in particular, is having this very strong upwards move. I mean, over $1,320. Saw some, you know, really strong indication that we're going in the upwards direction here. So we got back on the line, Jerry Robinson. He's an economist, veteran trend trader, serial entrepreneur, best-selling author, and the founder of FollowTheMoney.com, formerly FTMDaily.com. He's also the best-selling author of the book Bankruptcy of Our Nation, Your Financial Survival Guide. So we're going to be talking about that today, Bankruptcy of the Nation, and how that trickles into the investments that we want to be holding. So, Jerry, without any further ado, thanks for coming on Crush the Street with me today.
Oh, you bet, Kenneth. It's great to be here. Thank you so much.
Well, let's talk about gold. I want to start here. It was quite timely that we had that conversation a few months ago. And I think the waters are a little bit more welcoming now to actually discuss it, you know, even though nominally it was better to get in maybe a couple months ago. But here we are, you know, I haven't checked in the last few minutes here, but over $1,320, I believe. Yesterday it was getting pretty close to $1,330. And so what are your thoughts on gold here?
Well, I think, you know, I like gold. I mean, I'm a bull. I've been a bull on gold. I hate to say I'm a perma-bull on anything because I am a trend trader. But when it comes to gold, I mean, it's hard not to be a perma-bull because the central banks themselves are perma-bulls on gold. In fact, we saw in 2018 that central bank purchases of gold were the largest year-over-year increase that we have seen since the Nixon closing of the gold window back in the early 1970s. And so central banks are rarely putting their money where their mouth is. They tend to put it in gold, and that's exactly what we see now. And so gold, to me, represents the ultimate beneficiary of poor monetary and fiscal policies. And boy, do we have poor monetary and fiscal policies, Kenneth, in these United States. And very few people, you know, seem to want to talk about that now. It seemed like back, you know, you go back 10 years, Kenneth, when everybody had, you know, opened up their IRA and 401k statements and saw that they had been cut in half, they'd taken a haircut, you know, a 401k became a 201k, then suddenly they got in the streets and they said, hey, this $9 trillion national debt is too much. And this, you know, these deficits are too much. But you get 10 years away from that and the Fed does its magic by blowing more bubbles. You create this wealth effect. And now you have absolute crickets You have absolute crickets about the deficits and the debts, Kenneth. I mean, Trump, the president, President Trump, the Trump administration just unveiled a $4.7 trillion spending plan for 2020. I mean, it's Washington's latest bad joke upon the people of these United States. It's called the Budget for a Better America. And it's $4.7 trillion. And you know how much money they're going to take in, Kenneth? They're going to take in $3.6 trillion, according to their fiscal projections. And that's based, by the way, upon a 3.2% GDP growth rate, which was just slashed and cut almost in half by the Federal Reserve. They said that in 2020, we are looking at about a 1.9% growth rate. And so you're talking about some pretty big discrepancy about what Washington thinks they're going to be raising as far as money and what the Fed is actually projecting for actual growth. So we have an economy that's crawling at a snail's pace. It's supposedly the greatest economy ever, we've been told. This is actually probably one of the worst economies ever. We have a $22 trillion national debt. Never in history has any nation been more enslaved to debt than these United States. We can't even grow the GDP at 3% the way that we've been told that it would grow. We're growing at a much slower pace. We have a 2.1% projected GDP growth rate this year, 1.9% next year, 1.8% the year after that. That's according to the Fed's own numbers. But when you look out over those same years, you see nothing but trillion-dollar deficits. So the Trump White House is saying we're going to have a $1 trillion deficit in 2020, a $1 trillion deficit in 2021, a $1 trillion deficit in 2022. We already had a $1 trillion deficit in 2019. We already have one. So where's the outrage? Where are the men in the street demanding fiscal accountability? And sadly, we don't have that. Sadly, right now, we have a lot of denial about the debts and the deficits. And you know why, Kenneth, is because the stock market is going up. It's because housing values are going up. It's called the wealth effect. It's exactly what the Fed wanted to perpetrate upon the people, and they did it. They accomplished it. They do it over and over again. It's a boom-bust cycle we live in. And so the boom, we're fully in right now. But it's going to bust, as you and I both know. It happened in 2000. It happened in 2008, and we're due for the next bust coming up shortly. And it'll happen whenever inflation gets out of the Fed's control, and they can't keep their rates low. They're going to have to raise rates to catch up with it. And that, of course, will be the piercing of the bubble. Who knows what the actual catalyst will be? I would imagine inflation will have something to do with it. But it's quite something. So back to your original question of gold. I mean, I see gold as the primary beneficiary in this environment. There's really nothing else aside from, you know, other real assets. We like real assets in general. But again, as a trend trader, Kenneth, that doesn't mean that I don't invest in other asset classes. If you had this view in 2009, 2010, 2011, 2012, and on and all the way till now, you'd be losing money. I mean, so you have to follow the trend. That's why our website's called followthemoney.com. I mean, we believe in following the trend. So we don't want to be outside the trend. We don't want to buck the trend. But it's clear that when this current uptrend in equities is over, and especially in housing prices as well, it's going to be very painful. And again, gold will be the primary beneficiary. So we do like gold. We have a core holding in gold, and we expect our gold to continue rising, albeit not in a straight line. Nothing goes up in a straight line. But over time, we expect to see gold continuing to benefit from this current environment.
Yeah, that's good advice there. And it kind of had me thinking, I feel like some people, they invest in trends that are beyond their practical, you know, timeline. I mean, you know, to use an extreme example, you know, what's the point of investing in a trend that is going to happen in 1,000 years? I mean, there's no practical use case for that that's going to benefit your life, right? But, it's, you know, you can say, oh, the earth is going to eventually turn into an ice ball. What are the implications on that? You know, that's obviously something very, very extreme on the far, you know, side of the spectrum. But, you know, the point is to be investing in trends that, you know, are in the longer term or short term or medium term, but, you know, have a realistic timeline, nothing that's too outlandish or too far away, because then it just doesn't become a practical investment thesis for your portfolio.
So true, Kenneth. And I'll jump in here and say that the internet has really helped perpetuate those kinds of ideas. There has been an idea going along we've been battling for I don't know how long, and it's this idea of a global reset. This idea that, everything's just going to fall apart and we're all going to be living in caves and you have to buy gold. I mean, this kind of nonsense, that's not what we're pointing at. We're not pointing at something like this. We're simply suggesting that what goes up must come down. And so we follow trends, and the idea that, many people have built their financial plan around the bust, but then the whole time the boom is happening, they're not participating in it. And so that makes it very, very frustrating. It was John Maynard Keynes that, now despised, greatly despised economist by many monetary and Austrian economists, who once said that the markets can remain irrational longer than you can remain solvent. And that's exactly true. The markets may appear to be irrational here. They may appear to be, why is gold not going up more? Why? How can we sustain all of this debt? Well, expect the irrationality to continue, perhaps even longer than you can remain solvent. So bucking the trend and being a contrarian works out sometimes, but we have found that following the trend has been a lot more lucrative endeavor for us.
So Jerry, I'm looking at the 10-year Treasury bond yield. It's at 2.432, almost 2.5%. And when we did our interview in November of 2018, just a few months ago, It was 3%, a little over 3%. And now, again, bond rates have come down. And that means people are more interested in bonds. They're, I guess more optimistic about the economy, maybe, because, or maybe not. Maybe it's just manipulation coming from the central banks. But I'd like to get your thoughts on the rates. What's going on with the bond yields as we're seeing them come down here, and the dynamics of what that implies about the economy?
Well, up until this point, there has been an idea, initiated by the Federal Reserve, that rates were going to continue a steady but cautionary rise. That was dashed at the beginning of the year in January when the Fed responded to a knee-jerk reaction to the stock market falling. And they immediately threw out all of their economic data and just said, we're just going to stop raising rates and we're just going to put everything on pause. I mean, this is one thing that you got to pay attention to with the Fed, is that they always tell you that they're looking at all of this very important economic data. But when the stock market goes down, suddenly they toss all that out, and all they care about is the stock market. Because again, their con game is the wealth effect. So as long as you continue to believe on paper that you're getting richer because your 401k or your IRA value is going up or your housing value is going up, then you're going to spend more money. It's just psychological. But the minute that you open up your 401k, your IRA, or you see your housing value going down, suddenly you tighten your belt and you say, I'm not going to spend as much money. That's the fear of the Federal Reserve. That's the fear of the central monetary authorities, is that they don't want you to be fiscally responsible. That goes against their whole business model. You have to be reckless. You have to go out and spend more than you have. You have to take on more debt. You got to inflate the bank, the bank balance sheets. So in other words, that's how they roll. And so they had to pull back their interest rate plans. They had planned in this greatest economy ever, as it's been dubbed, they were supposed to be raising rates twice this year because the economy was so strong. Well, now we've discovered that the economy is so fragile that they can't even raise rates one time in 2019. That's quite staggering when you think about it, the doublespeak that they've given to us. So the bond yields have fallen because there has been buying pressure on the longer end of the bond, of the bond spectrum. So there's lots of buying of a longer future, maturity kind of bonds, longer term bonds. And that has pushed the yield on those down below typically the risk-free yield of the three-month T-bill. And so when you look at that yield curve inversion, that's what it's known as, a yield curve inversion, when that longer term rate goes below the three-month Treasury yield, what you end up having is something known as an inverted yield curve. And that's preceded, that event And by the way, you know, you got to be careful when you see this happen on a day. I mean, it literally happened on, you know, just last week when we record this. It would happen the week prior. And when that occurred, you know, the question is, will it stay there? And so a lot of economists and analysts say, you know, you've really got to see an inverted yield curve for a full quarter. It has to be averaged below for a full quarter for it to really have any kind of meaning. Well, regardless, it's happened, and it hasn't happened since 2007. So, and we know what happened after that. The last seven recessions in America have been preceded by this same event, the 10-year yield falling below the three-month yield. And typically within 3 to 24 months, it's not immediate, but typically between 3 and 24 months, you get the beginning of a recession. And, you know, in a normal human being, Kenneth, in a normal human organism, when something becomes sick or a virus is, you know, if you get a cold, you know, it has to kind of play out and your body kind of recuperates. Well, the Fed doesn't want to allow any kind of cleansing to happen, no cleaning of house. So when the stock market starts to fall and prices start to correct, because, you know, that's what they naturally do, nothing goes straight up, the Fed tries to intervene and they try to keep pumping up the bubble. And unfortunately, Janet Yellen, the former Fed chair before Jay Powell, has said that this inverted yield curve does not mean that we're going to have a recession this time. It simply means that we're going to have a rate cut. So we've been saying for some time that we expect the Fed to reverse course, and now they're beginning to U-turn finally. They were preceded, by the way, by Europe. Europe made a U-turn earlier in March when they launched fresh stimulus program. I mean, it was less than 3 months after they had wound up their latest major round of monetary easing. They announced a new round of cheap loans to European banks based upon lower economic and inflation forecasts, growth forecasts. And so we've already seen Europe make the U-turn. Now the Fed is starting to make that U-turn. And so all of this bodes well for gold. And I guess you could also build the case, Kenneth, that this also builds a solid case perhaps for equities in the near term. I mean, we know what happens when the Fed lowers rates and when they start getting aggressive with their QE. I mean, it gooses stock prices. So I'm not willing to go in on where stock prices are going to go. I don't have a crystal ball, but I would say that you know, the Fed is very cognizant of it and they don't want prices to go down. That's for darn sure.
Well, and again, it's an issue with the dollar when you really think about it in many ways. As much as, you know, we can say that stock prices are out of control, if we do see a massive inflationary problem, it might not be the stock market that gets hammered as badly as so much maybe the dollar does. You know, what are your thoughts on that? Is it a matter, is it the falling of a dollar and maybe the stock market is a partial safe haven to the inflation that we're anticipating to come into the underlying fiat currency here?
Very possibly. I mean, it is possible. You could see that. I think though, from a technical standpoint, we have seen very, very little in the way of solid inflows into equities. That's been really concerning. I mean, I'm a price and volume kind of guy, technical. So I look at, you know, price and volume primarily for my buy and sell signals, and it served me well. But what I've noticed really interesting as of late, especially this year, is just been hardly any inflows. It's mainly been outflows. We've had a tremendous amount of outflows in the equities space. But back to the dollar. So I say that because you had brought up the safe haven aspect of equities. Very possible. I mean, there's no doubt about it. Again, I don't have a crystal ball on this. But I will say that the U.S. dollar, certainly, when you take a look at a longer term chart of it, it's certainly in a downtrend overall, you know, long term. But yeah, I mean, I think you certainly could see the dollar, you know, get hit pretty hard here. We still have the U.S. dollar. We track 9 to 10 different global currencies, including Bitcoin, for our members. And the only three that we have actually been holding in this environment have been the U.S. dollar, the yen and the Chinese yuan. All the other ones have just been, you know, things we're not even touching. So the dollar is still holding up still. But yeah, I mean, sure, it could. It could fall in this environment, and it could be punished due to what's happening right now. It should be punished because, again, the Fed is lowering rate projections, and the dollar really is driven by interest rates. And so if we expect lower interest rates in the future, or if a deceleration of interest rates, then the dollar should move down accordingly. The problem is that the dollar is perceived as a safe haven, just as the long bonds are. And so the fact that you have these long bonds being bought up and the rates are going down tells you that there's a kind of a flocking to U.S. debt. And we'll see how long that continues.
Jerry, I like that you stay above the fray, you know, the right and the left. And I mean, you're criticizing the Trump administration rightfully. So with the debt and the hypocrisy of the spending, I mean, the conservatives are supposed to be, you know, the ones that are less aggressive on the spending side. I guess we could argue back and forth on what is more productive investment, what's better to invest in, and, you know, does that attract capital longer term around the world into the U.S.? But aside from that, you know, what we have right now is the sideshow play out, the Mueller investigation with the Trump administration, you know, no collusion with Russia. And, you know, the mainstream media, comedians are actually calling this a big win for Trump. And my question to you is, you know, what do you make of this sideshow, and how distracting is it to be able to get content like we're trying to talk about the debt and, you know, the real issues with the economy to a large audience, and a large audience who otherwise doesn't really pay attention to the deeper fundamentals that I would argue are most important to, you know, the long-term success of the country?
Well, you know, it's funny. Back in 2009, whenever a black guy had entered office, President Barack Obama, and by the way, the very first black president, just will always be one of those things that just didn't go real well for the United States. Apparently, they weren't ready for a black president because it went really, really, really bad. Mm-hmm. Now, as we look at the present administration now, the same things that we were being complained about in the previous administration with President Obama, you know, the outrageous spending, the national debt growing, total crickets now. I mean, and again, the guys who used to invite me to speak at the tea parties, you know, they were always Republicans. They were so outraged at the, you know, the $9 trillion debt, the $15 trillion debt. Oh, they were terrified of the great deficits that President Barack Obama was bringing upon the country. It was going to leave our children homeless. Now, suddenly, again, in February, Kenneth, I mean, soak this in. In February, we just posted, the United States just posted its biggest monthly budget deficit on record. There has never been a larger monthly U.S. deficit ever, 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 under any circumstances, in any time frame, any time in history. There has never been a larger monthly budget deficit. That is, we spent more money than we took in by a wider margin in February of 2019 than has ever occurred in the history of America. Okay. And you would expect, as you just pointed out, that the cons on the right would be wildly outraged by this. I mean, the absolute fiscal recklessness of it. So, I mean, you're right. Both sides are an absolute joke. And that's why we don't get into politics, because we see the futility of it. It offers no real benefit to us as price and volume watchers. It's a complete sideshow. It's a complete distraction. Mr. Trump is nothing but a distraction. He's a total distraction. Everything he says is a distraction. So we ignore. Now, at first, we thought maybe he actually has something to add here. And so we did pay attention, but then we realized quickly that you're right. It's nothing but a sideshow. And as far as the media coverage and the Mueller investigation, you know, I think the one thing that we can all say is that we dodged a bullet in the fact that had there been any teeth to that report, you know, that could have been a pretty big volatile moment for the market. However, that's minor compared to what's actually happening. And I tell you what, America's largest creditors like China and Japan and many of these other countries, You know what they're looking at? They're not looking at this Mueller report. They could give, you know, they know what this, what all this is. They're looking at the February deficit. You know, they're looking at this a clown of a country that continues to talk out of its mouth about free markets and then tries to restrain other countries from using a free market. For example, we saw recently that because the United States cannot compete with China, and instead they're trying to rev up their domestic coal market, you know, China's choosing to live in the 21st century. They've taken a massive lead in renewable energy. They've taken a massive lead in robotics. They've taken a massive lead in artificial intelligence. They're leaving us in the dust. Meanwhile, we're out here trying to dig coal out of the ground. And now they've moved on to this next generation wireless technology known as 5G. And the United States is woefully unprepared for what China is doing. They're leading the race to 5G. And so what does the United States do? Do they start investing in 5G? Well, a little bit. But what they've really done is they've tried to hamstring China from actually selling its 5G technology to its allies like Europe, American allies like Europe. And so threatening Germany, you know, with all kinds of punitive measures if they actually adopt 5G from China. What's the reason, Kenneth? Why would they be upset about China selling 5G to Germany? Well, because supposedly China, which they have no proof of this, but because China is going to be using the 5G to spy on Germany. Now, this is coming, you know, and this is what the United States is warning about. And this is coming from the same big, you know, group that leads the NSA that had been spying upon Angela Merkel right in her own office. I mean, so it's just an absolute comedy routine that we see here as the United States flails about, not realizing that it's losing steam, that China is already the largest economy in the world. In 2014, it became the largest economy in the world based upon GDP on a PPP basis. That is real GDP. That is real purchasing power, not the nominal GDP that we like to use, but the on a real basis. So China's already the largest economy in the world. The United States is not aware of this, obviously, or they are aware of it, but they're aware of it too late. The average American, I would say, Kenneth, is not aware of it. They're not aware that the United States is falling behind at a rapid pace. And with these new growth rates of, you know, 1.9% going forward, 1.8%, and these trillion-dollar deficits, China's only going to accelerate. And we constantly hear, Kenneth, about how China's slowing because it has a 6% growth rate or a 6.5% growth rate. How laughable must that be as we sit here with a 1.9% growth rate and talk about how slow their economy is? So, you know, I think we're a lot of most Americans hold to a political view that keeps them away from economic reality. So they want to believe something bad enough, and so they don't pay attention to what's actually really happening. And I think America's in for a rude awakening.
All right, Jerry. Well, you've certainly given us a great dose of information today. And this is one of those interviews I think people can listen to a couple times to just fully understand what is going on. I mean, we've really touched on some core topics here that, especially if you haven't heard about it before, is a rude awakening for some people. And I think, you know, a lot of people end up scratching their heads because it's frustrating in certain ways because, you know, we've been taught to believe that, you know, we live in the best country in the world and, you know, we're infallible and, you know, and all of these things. And it almost seems unpatriotic to question the strength and the direction of the country. You know what I mean? But you've brought up some very important points, and I'm really grateful for your time today here at Crush the Street. If people want to learn more about you, more about your website, please let them know where they can go and what they can expect to find.
Thank you, Kenneth. Yeah, if they go to followthemoney.com, they'll find there a free podcast that we produce regularly. We've interviewed some of the top economic minds. We put out a completely free newsletter each and every weekend. You can just go to our website and you'll see an email box right there. Just enter your email. We'll send you a completely free newsletter each and every weekend. We have lots of memberships for people who say, hey, I want to take this deeper. I want to know what's uptrending now. We release new uptrend alerts on different markets each and every week and new downtrend alerts. So if you want to stay on the right side of the trend, that's really what we do here. We called a new uptrend, by the way, in gold, for example, back in December. And that, as you mentioned, and that really worked out well. We called a new uptrend in silver also back in December for our members. And we also called, you know, a new uptrend, for example, in palladium back in September of 2018. So we're always, you know, looking for the next new uptrend, and we alert our members to it. So if people are looking for that, they can also get access to that. But it's been a great pleasure here. I would just say followthemoney.com and check out all of our free resources. We're happy to help.
All right, sir. Well, and if you would like, I mean, maybe share some closing thoughts here on just what you would suggest to people, kind of how a good way to end this interview is always, you know, what are you suggesting for people going forward in 2019, and general thoughts?
Well, I would say that most people don't have a financial plan. I think most people kind of live from day to day. Many people, Kenneth, and I'm not suggesting in your audience, but we know just across the board that most people are just one paycheck away from bankruptcy, one paycheck away from foreclosure, one medical bill away from insolvency. And sadly, oftentimes the people who are most concerned about, you know, the politics and about everything that's going on around them, the things that they can't change, that they often aren't taking advantage of the things that they can change. And that's what we advise people to do, is to sit down and take a look at what you're presently doing. And we're not just saying that. We actually have provided something completely free on our website called the 5 Levels of Financial Freedom. People can go to followthemoney.com/5levels, and they can start going through the 5 levels of financial freedom. And we have laid out, it's been a big labor, labor of love, that we have put all this out information for free. And these are the same 5 levels that we use, my wife and I use, to break free financially. I used to work at a job I hated. I used to have, you know, too much debt. I mean, I've dug myself out. I've moved out of the big city. I've moved out into the country. I have, you know, acreage now. I have, a little small, kind of what you would call like a little mini ranch, whatever. I have livestock. I have, you know, a garden. I'm trying to get off of the grid. I'm moving towards solar. I'm trying to teach my children, you know, that grocery stores don't make food. You actually have to think differently. And we've improved our financial life vastly by rethinking what we've been taught. And you really nailed it, Kenneth, when you said that we have been taught these things. We have been taught these things by our society, by our culture. And oftentimes those things that we've been taught end up enslaving us. And so if people want to take the next step, I encourage them to go to followthemoney.com/5levels and just go through the 5 levels. You can read through, print out the pages. It walks you through how to go from A to B to C to D to break free financially. We talk about diversifying your income, diversifying your savings, diversifying your investments, you know, different mindsets that you have to have, just invaluable stuff. And that's what I would leave people with, is an action plan. Don't just see what's happening around the world and be frustrated. Instead, see what's happening around the world and let it be a clarion call to you to take action for yourself and for your family. That's my advice.
All right, Mr. Robinson. Well, I appreciate your time here. Thank you so much for coming on Crush the Street with us today.
My pleasure. God bless you, my friend.